The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you want to play. I mean, you just want to play because you've built that time from St. Joe. You've spent this time with your teammates and built up for this moment, and so you don't want to let guys down or whatever it is. You want to be in the game and be able to go out there and show off what you've worked for. But I don't think it really was anything for the team because the team has so much belief in Chad, and he's done it before. He's won divisional games by coming in and playing. And so they have so much belief in Chad, and you saw in that 98-yard drive. He ran the offense the way the offense is supposed to be ran. He threw it to the right guys, and guys stepped up and made plays. And so that's what a great team does. It's not about one guy. It's about the whole team.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a Victory Monday, January 23rd, 2023. Stephen St. John, Nate Buchetti, and Marco Marquez, now joined by Adam Teicher from ESPN. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good, Stephen. How are you guys doing today?
Doing very well. Adam, I started the show talking about three drives that just stuck in my mind all weekend after watching that game, that opening drive, and how good the Chiefs looked with the healthy Mahomes. And then the 98-yard drive by Chad Henne, which was just incredible for him to step into that situation and get in the end zone. And then, of course, the drive that Patrick Mahomes orchestrated with the bum leg and culminating in the touchdown pass to MVS that really helped put the game away. Just remarkable stuff. So let's, you know, we all agree they looked fantastic in that opening drive, and who knows what would happen had Mahomes stayed healthy. But let's talk about Henne coming into that game. The Chiefs are at the 2-yard line. Everyone's freaking out. Everyone feels terrible. And he calmly drives that team down the field, and they get in the end zone. How impressed were you? How big was that? Just take me back to that 98-yard drive.
Yeah, it was spectacular. I mean, for the moment, right, you know, Mahomes isn't in, and he hasn't played. Henne hasn't played any meaningful football in a long time, and just sort of did what he does. And it was a nice way to go for the Chiefs, unexpected. And, you know, that was big 7 points. I mean, did they win the game without that drive? You know, if they have to go three plays and out, Jacksonville's going to get the ball near midfield. What happens at that point? So, you know, that was a big point in the game, no doubt. And it was, a great moment for the Chiefs, no doubt.
And then, you know, once Mahomes comes back in, the drive that he led that resulted with the touchdown pass to MVS to help put the game away, in the sight of the players helping him off the field, and you know, all of them kind of gathered around Mahomes. And I mean, look, you can't, if you don't get inspired by that, if you're a fan, if you're a teammate or whatever, I don't know what to tell you. But that's it feels like that's going to be another chapter in the book of Mahomes when we look back at great moments in his career. He orchestrates that drive. And again, if they don't score that touchdown, who knows if they win. That was, I think, equally remarkable.
Yeah, it was. That was just kind of underscores the challenge they're going to have this weekend, right? I mean, you know, with him not being right, how's this going to go? You know, I mean, I saw a stat that said, you know, he led the league in outside the pocket passes this year, 113, I think it was. But he didn't do any after the injury in the second half the other day. And so that was only the second half he's had all year where he did not throw one pass outside the pocket. The other one was in the opener, believe it or not, against Arizona way back when. So obviously that's a huge part of his game. And you take that away and then it's going to be really hard. The Bengals know what's going on here, though. They'll certainly be trying to get after him in a way that Jacksonville probably didn't try. I was kind of surprised at that. and then we'll see how effective he is. You know, I mean, it's just going to be a weird deal, and it's going to be an unusual Patrick Mahomes, so like we saw in the second half, and probably what we're going to have to see on Sunday.
You know, Adam, that's a phenomenal stat, by the way, that he didn't have a single pass outside of the pocket after leading the league in it. And obviously in the first drive of the game, he was all over the place throwing passes from everywhere inside and outside the pocket.
Yeah.
Here's a conundrum, and look, he went and he drove the team down the field and they scored the touchdown. But while that drive was going on, he also had some passes that were way off the mark. And it caused me and the people I was watching with to have the discussion of is 100% Chad Henne better than whatever percentage of Patrick Mahomes you're getting right now? And I don't know, what were your thoughts on that watching it, you know, live, especially considering the fact that Henne had taken the team on a 98-yard touchdown drive?
Yeah, no, it is a little bit of a dilemma there. And, you know, there were certainly, like you say, Nate, there were some throws that weren't, you feel like he would have made. And he acknowledged it after the game. You know, I kind of wanted to hear it in his words, how he felt about, you know, how that injury affected him. And he freely acknowledged there were a few throws that weren't him. So, yeah, that is a dilemma, and that's something the Chiefs are going to have to figure out this week. You know, without knowing exactly what he's capable of and what he's not, you know, that's sort of a hard question to answer. But just judging off the guy we saw the other night in the second half, I'd give it a shot, you know, and let's see what happens. You know, let's see how well he can do, but certainly have Chad Henne ready to go. But, you know, I feel like, you know, a 75% Mahomes is still pretty good. And if the Chiefs are firing in other parts of their game, probably good enough for the Chiefs to win this game. But they're going to have to lean on these other parts, and these other parts of their game are going to have to be really good. You know, their run defense, for instance, can need to be a lot better than it was against Jacksonville. So, you know, I feel like, you know, a 75% Mahomes, if that's what it's going to be, is good enough if the Chiefs are doing everything else they need to do, which is a big if.
Adam Teicher from ESPN is our guest. And, Adam, you know, every little thing counts when – talking about Mahomes and his ability to recover. They get an extra day because the game was played on Saturday. Now they don't have to travel to Atlanta. They stay home, and he can continue to get treatment. I know that not one of those things is going to be the deciding factor, but those things combined, that does make a difference. I'm just curious what you think about how they will game plan around this, because you do have, you know, maybe the best offensive mind of football in Andy Reid. You got Eric Bieniemy. You got Matt Nagy. And you have at least somewhat of an understanding of what he can do and what he can't do based on what you saw in the second half, as opposed to him getting hurt at the end of the game and not really knowing. And so they look, what did they do by trading Tyreek Hill? They took those resources, the money and the draft picks, and upgraded the secondary, got younger, got more athletic, and now they have the type of offense where they can spread the ball around. And guess what? Isaiah Pacheco looked pretty damn good as well. How do you expect them to game plan around this, considering the different weapons they have and maybe the ability to run on the lean on the run game a little bit more as opposed to in the playoffs last year?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm wondering, you know, is whether you know, the Chiefs don't run the ball a little more than they normally do. And, you know, you look at that one drive. Now, the Chad Henne drive, Chiefs ran five times in 12 plays, which is a pretty good ratio for them, you know, almost 50%. So, you know, that's pretty good for them with the way they operate. So maybe they'll go a little more to the running game. Of course, I'm wondering how the Bengals are going to handle this, you know, what their strategy is going to be. Because, you know, what are they going to do? You know, we know what they did in the second half last year, the AFC Championship game. Probably no need to spy Mahomes. He's not going to be running. What do you do with that extra defender? You know, do you come after him in a big way? Do you play coverage against them? You know, you'd think they maybe get ready to stack the box a little more and wait for a Chiefs running game. So I think the chess match is going to be kind of interesting, and I want to see how it all plays out for sure.
So we talk about Pacheco, and Stephen brought this up earlier, Adam, the draft class that's out there making, you know, making plays in the playoffs now involves a couple of seventh-round picks in Jalen Watson and Isaiah Pacheco, not to mention all the guys that were drafted earlier in the draft that are making a difference as well. And I'm just curious if you can put into perspective, now that we're seeing it in the playoffs, what type of job Brett Veach did from this offseason, from trading Tyreek Hill to what they did with all those draft picks. How would you put that into perspective, the job he's done this year?
Yeah, this is sort of playing out the way the Chiefs hoped it would play out when they traded Tyreek Hill, right? I mean, you know, the Chiefs are back in the AFC Championship game and getting a huge contribution from their rookie class. You know, I saw a stat the other day also. The Chiefs, I think, were third or fourth in the league in number of snaps. Well, you know what? I can look it up, but they're getting a lot from their rookie class. They got more out of their rookies than just about any team in the league. Let's see. Okay, here we go. The Chiefs on offense, a defense, they had the third most snaps in the league on defense by rookies. They had the fourth most snaps on special teams by rookies. They had the 27th most snaps by rookies in the NFL, but are still getting a lot from Pacheco, so that's good. And then in total snaps, the Chiefs were fourth in the league, offense, defense, and special teams. So, you know, that's the domain of losing teams. I mean, you play rookies a lot, and generally you're not going to end up in the AFC Championship or the Conference Championship game. That's not how that works. But the Chiefs have been able to make it work, and because they found the right guys. And so that's that is a testament to Brett Veach. I mean, this is sort of playing out just like they'd hoped, and we'll see where it goes from here, you know, next year and beyond. But you know, right now it seems like they're making the Tyreek Hill trade work like they intended it to work.
We had Adam Teicher from ESPN. The defense came through big. Nate talked about the interception that sealed the game. Frank Clark, playoff Frank, had a sack and then said, doesn't matter where they play, Atlanta, Kansas City, or in his backyard, someone's got to get it, Adam Teicher. What did you think of the defense's performance against Jacksonville on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there were you know, certainly that fourth quarter with the two turnovers, you know, that was stuff they had to have. You know, it was good. I mean, you like to see him play a better run defense, and I'm wondering how that's going to work on Sunday against the Bengals, particularly the way they ran the ball yesterday, you know, against Buffalo. So, you know, but they did stand up, but you know, I think they're going to need to play better on Sunday if the Chiefs are going to win this game. That's something the Chiefs are going to have to lean on with either a backup quarterback for the Chiefs playing or a limited Mahomes. So it's going to have to be better, I think, from the Chiefs on defense because I against this quality of opponent, they're going to have to play well to win for sure.
If you are an opposing defense, how do you allow Travis Kelce 14 catches and 2 touchdowns in the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't know. It's it's crazy stuff. That's there's no doubt. You know, he was you know, he stepped up when the Chiefs really needed him. You know, he had a few catches, obviously, before Mahomes got hurt. But then, you know, afterwards with a backup quarterback and then a gimpy Mahomes, it was great stuff from him. And, you know, he's given the Chiefs exactly what they needed.
I saw a lot of people picking on Orlando Brown Jr., you know, for getting beat repeatedly. And then, of course, you know, people putting the blame on him for the fact that Mahomes got hurt. That's, of course, not fair to put anything like that on one person. But what is your level of concern? We've been talking about Orlando Brown Jr. all year long, and is he good? Is he bad? Is he somewhere in the middle? With the Mahomes that's limited physically, what's your level of concern for Orlando Brown Jr. going up against that Bengals pass rush?
Yeah, it's a concern, and it's the whole offensive line and how you protect him. I mean, I thought the Chiefs did a really nice job of that after the injury the other night. So, you know, that part of it was pretty good. But now it's another opponent with, you know, who's given the Chiefs some problems. So where is it all going to stand? This is part of that chess match. You know, how are the Chiefs going to handle this? And how are the Bengals going to attack this? And so it is going to be interesting. I think the Chiefs can hold up okay there. You know, that's not the biggest issue here. It's, it's how much Mahomes can get done when you take away a big part of this game, the outside the pocket, the creativity, the improvisation. You know, how effective can he be in that situation? And then also defense. Can the Chiefs hold up? You know, can they do their end of the bargain? And then we haven't even gotten into special teams with the two big kickoff returns the other night. I don't know why the Chiefs just don't kick the ball into the end zone and just do it that way. I mean, they're with all the problems they're having, that's just a crazy thing to do to try to play the field position game there.
That's the other question I was going to ask you. Agnew had two kickoff returns, and that second one, saved by Harrison Butker, could have easily been a touchdown. And at that point, that was one of the only things that could help spark Jacksonville and get them back in the game. So I had no clue as to why you would tempt fate and even kick it to one of the best return guys in the NFL. And so, is that what Dave Tobe wanted for them to kick to him? Was Butker trying to kick it out of the end zone? I can't imagine why on earth you'd want to take that risk when you've got the lead, because the risk, yep, risk versus reward doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, that's one of the things I want to get to with Andy Reid today, and I don't know if I will with all the Mahomes stuff going on, but I did want to ask him about that. But I know this. You know, Dave Tobe has said that with Harrison Butker, they can put it out of the end zone anytime they want. That if they want him to kick it out and tell him kick it out, he will kick it out of the end zone. So that says to me that when it doesn't go out of the end zone, when it's a returnable ball, that they've told him, we think we can hold these guys. Why you would think you could hold these guys with all the problems they've had this year on special teams? You know, Agnew's one of the best in the league. You don't need to gamble there. Starting at Jacksonville in the 25 is fine. I don't understand the strategy there. So I want to ask those questions today. I'm not sure I can get to them, but we'll see.
All right, you saw the Bengals just dominate the Bills. And so now that we've seen this, we've seen the Bengals earlier this year and last year, what do you expect? What's your early outlook on this game on Sunday at Arrowhead?
Yeah, that was impressive stuff by the Bengals. I mean, I don't know the last time I've been impressed by a team against another good team. You know, I mean, certainly there have been games where teams blow other teams out, but you're talking about an inferior opponent. Buffalo is not an inferior opponent. So, I certainly thought there was a chance the Bengals could win that game, but it would be close. And it wasn't. They just dominated. So, if that's the game that they're going to bring to Arrowhead on Sunday, it's going to be difficult for the Chiefs, even if Mahomes is fine, which we know he's not going to be. So, I don't know that the Bengals will play that well again. You know, we haven't seen that kind of game from them a lot this year. So I don't know, but I feel like it's hard not to like the Bengals right now with everything that's going on, the way they're playing, plus the way the Chiefs are playing, and then the uncertainty around the home. So I think there's going to be a lot here for the Chiefs to overcome. Not saying they can't do it, but it's going to be difficult.
And the Chiefs are going to be able to play the disrespect card, because everyone, it seems like, is going to be picking against him this week.
I think it looks like I might. I don't know about everybody. I mean, they were what? They were 2.5. I think the spread's gone down, but it started at 2.5, which kind of surprised me.
But it's down to one right now.
I don't know if it's everybody.
It's the Chiefs against the world, Adam. Yeah. The whole world against Kansas City. We're gonna show them on Sunday.
of all storylines, man. Let's not. Yeah, no one likes the Chiefs. Yeah, let's.
They don't.
Yeah,
they're only a 1-point favorite. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. They're against a team they've never beaten or haven't beaten for a long time. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Adam,
so,
thank
you. I don't know. I do expect a competitive game, but I think there's a lot for the Chiefs to overcome here.
Adam, go ahead and confirm your travel plans to Arizona. All right.
I've already got my plane ticket.
That's right.
So you can't blame me for a lack of respect.
No, you'll be there. You're going to use it. Thank you, Adam. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Okay, guys. Talk to you then.
I'm going to fill people with confidence.
Let's go.
You understand me? Back after this on WHB.
Burrow takes a knee, and it's over. The winning continues for Cincinnati. The Bengals are going back to the AFC Championship game.
So Zeke Elliott over the football. He's going to snap it to Prescott. Prescott back to pass, throws left, caught by Turpin, hit and dropped. After all that, they throw it to Turpin, tackled at the 30, and the game is over. For a second straight year, the 49ers are going to the NFC Championship game.
Third and nine, high snap. Minshew pulls it down, gives it to Gainwell over the left side. He's got room. Gainwell to the 20, inside the 10, and all the way for the Eagles' touchdown. The cherry on top for the NFC Championship-bound Philadelphia Eagles.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Victory Monday, January 23rd, 2023. Let's talk to Jeff Kerr from CBSSports.com, who writes about the NFL. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Boys, it was a fun weekend. That's all I got to say about that. I expected an Eagles beat down to the Giants. I got it.
They you know, it's I was going to say the Eagles by far were the most impressive team over the weekend, but maybe not, because the Giants certainly didn't belong there, and what the Bengals did to Buffalo on the road must be considered. But Philadelphia looked great. Do you think they will beat San Francisco, or do the 49ers have you concerned?
You know, I love the 49ers team. I think they're really good. Obviously, we could go with the skill players, but they have an aggressive defense that can just get after a quarterback. And I think they masked some problems in the secondary. Here's the thing. Every time I watch this 49ers team, I just keep thinking the clock is going to strike midnight for Brock Purdy at some point. And I thought the Cowboys, not that they would beat them, but I thought they would expose him a bit. And I actually got what I wanted out of that game. Purdy was 3-for-11 for 24 yards when he was pressured by a defense that can actually get to the quarterback. And the Cowboys didn't get to him much, but they got him off his spot. And I thought that was key. Now he's going to be facing an Eagles defense that has 75 sacks this year. I'm counting the postseason in this. And just as numbers of guys that can constantly get to him. And the Eagles defensive line just flat out. The 49ers offensive line is good, but the Eagles can match up very well with them. And the 49ers have Trent Williams on their team. So am I concerned? San Francisco could definitely go to the Philly and beat them. I'm convinced on that. But I just look at a couple things with that 49ers team. And after the way the Eagles played Saturday night and how they've been playing most of the season, I just don't know if the Eagles are going to lose to an NFC team this year. Right now, it's in Philly. It's at home. I hate to sound cocky and arrogant, but it just feels like the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl.
That's very cocky and arrogant, Jeff, but that's fine. you've seen a lot of football. Would you say that the final play of the game run by Dallas, is that the best end-of-game play that you've ever seen put together?
So right before the moment happened, I'm looking at the formation. I'm like, don't tell me you got Ezekiel Elliott right in the middle there. And that's who it was. And I'm like, this ain't going to end well. And I never saw a guy get planted more in my life. And I'm like, what is this team doing? I don't understand anything Dallas did in the last 3 minutes of that game. and that is just the Mike McCarthy school of clock management to a tease. If you want a school on how to lose a football game or how to not be ready for the moment, just watch the last 3 minutes of that game. Between the whole Dalton Schultz can't get out of balance, then he doesn't drag his feet, and it takes Mike McCarthy 30 seconds to punt because he has no idea what he's doing. And then that last play, the Cowboys deserve to lose that football game. And I thought their defense played excellent. Their offense was completely outmatched. Dak Prescott looked horrible, as he usually does at this time of year in the divisional round. That's just who he is. He's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. He's not the guys that, you know, we cover. You know, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts. There's a reason why they are where they are this weekend. I just think this Dallas team is at a conundrum right now. I don't know if they will ever make a conference championship game with Dak Prescott as quarterback. I don't know if they'll ever win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott as quarterback or with this team. They have a lot of issues they need to address. I think they're a very good team. I thought they had a very good season despite the circumstances. I thought they were going to take a step back. They didn't. They took a step forward. But unfortunately, I think this is as far as they're going to go because they just make way too many mistakes to actually be considered a true Super Bowl contender.
Hey, it's not a perfect comparison, but I kind of feel like the Cowboys with Dak Prescott or where the Chiefs were with Alex Smith. Hey, you'll win 12 games, you get to the divisional round, and then the door closes. And they're going to have to rethink quarterback and get someone more dynamic, an actual elite quarterback, if they want to go to the championship game or even the Super Bowl. Nate Buchady.
Will the Buffalo Bills ever go to the Super Bowl with Josh Allen as their quarterback?
I think they will, but I don't think Josh Allen is the main problem with the Buffalo Bills. If you guys watch that game, and I know you did, Cincinnati beat them to a pulp on the offensive line, which should not happen. That should not have happened with two backup tackles and a backup right guard. That was flat-out embarrassing by Buffalo, that they allowed that to happen. And their pass rush just disappeared the second Von Miller went down with the torn ACL. And I remember Bills fans getting in my mentions saying, I'm jumping the gun on that torn ACL. I'm like, he tore his ACL. I'm like, I'm not a doctor. I'm just telling you, he tore his ACL. He tore his ACL. And I'm like, they're in trouble. I thought they were going to be in a lot of trouble without Von Miller. That's why they got Von Miller, to go get that sack on Joe Burrow, to go get that sack on Patrick Mahomes, to not have that 13-second debacle they had last season. And it just blew up in their face. They can't run the football as well as their yards per carry said. That's Josh Allen. Their offensive line was just absolutely horrendous yesterday. And really, they haven't been that great on the offensive line all season. They're a big play offense, but when you take away the big play, they really look confused. This is what I think of Josh Allen, honestly. He makes a lot of mistakes, don't get me wrong, but Josh Allen is a top-five quarterback in this league. He makes those plays where you're just like, wow. I think Josh Allen masks a lot of problems with the Buffalo Bills. And do I think he can win a Super Bowl? Yes, I do. He's young enough, he's good enough, but how are you going to beat Patrick Mahomes over the years? How are you going to beat Joe Burrow over the years? This is what Buffalo's got to figure out. They had everything they wanted. They were home. Against this team, they were 13-1 against Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow put a clinic on them. Buffalo should be embarrassed today. But the Cincinnati Bengals did everybody in the NFL a favor, guys. They prevented the neutral site conference championship game. And I love Chiefs fans. I love Bills fans. Y'all are stupid for buying those tickets because the NFL couldn't wait to have that game.
Well, the tickets will be getting will be refunded, and so and for the fifth straight year, it'll be at Arrowhead Stadium. But I want to ask you about the quarterback matchup between Mahomes and Burrow, because if the Chiefs and Mahomes can win this thing, especially with Mahomes hobbled, that evens that head-to-head ledger pretty quickly. I know that the Bengals have a couple of regular season wins, but so what? Then you know they split championship games with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line, and then you can get real excited. Hey, this is an even matchup, and we're going to see these quarterbacks butt heads for years to come. If Burrow and the Bengals were to win this thing, then you've got four in a row against the Chiefs, and then you've beat Mahomes and the Chiefs back-to-back years in the championship game at Arrowhead with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line. That would take a while for Mahomes to catch up or to be able to even that out. I mean, Joe Burrow would have a decided advantage just as far as the head-to-head matchup and how people would feel about who the guy is in the AFC if he wins back-to-back championship games at Arrowhead Stadium.
If Joe Burrow wins this game, there should not be a debate on who the best quarterback in the AFC is. It's Joe Burrow. If Patrick Mahomes wins this game, I don't want to hear a word about Joe Burrow being better than Patrick Mahomes, because Patrick Mahomes will have done the most probably unlikely thing you could do, winning a game on a high ankle sprain against that Bengals team. I don't care if it's at home. I don't care if it's on the road. Patrick Mahomes has not beaten Joe Burrow yet. Cincinnati owns Kansas City. I would love to see the fake motivation Cincinnati uses this week to say no one believed in us, because that's a bunch of bullcrap this week. Kansas City has not beaten them. They have lost to them three times by a combined total of 9 points. Cincinnati has owned that team in the fourth quarter. Kansas City should have won that game last year. They didn't. They probably should have won that game this year. They didn't. But now, if Patrick Mahomes is healthy, I would pick the Chiefs. I'm just not sure who I'm going with yet. The Bengals should win. If you're just looking at pure talent, Joe Burrow healthy, Patrick Mahomes not, Cincinnati, and the history of the rivalry, Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals should be going back to the Super Bowl. But as you just point out, if Joe Burrow goes to the Super Bowl and loses again, and if Patrick Mahomes goes back next year and wins, wouldn't Mahomes still have the edge?
I mean, I think so. You ultimately judge on championships. So
yeah, and he's the MVP. I mean, Mahomes is still the MVP of the league. I was actually watching Get Up this morning. I don't know why I was, but I like listening to Orlovsky. Yeah. And I like listening to Orlovsky, and he's right about this. If you're going off of pure quarterbacking, Joe Burrow's the best quarterback. But if you're going off player and talent, it's Patrick Mahomes. And I agree with him 100%. I said, Joe Burrow, I've never seen a quarterback read a defense like Joe Burrow does. I mean, I was so impressed by what he was able to do against that Bills secondary yesterday and how Zach Taylor just sets things up for Joe Burrow to be cerebral and just confuse people. Joe Burrow is a hell of a football player. I love watching him play. I love the cockiness in him, the confidence, whatever you want to call it. He has the two best quotes of the year, by the way. And one was yesterday, better send those refunds. And the second one was earlier in the year when he said, as long as I'm quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, the Super Bowl window will always be open. I thought that was like the greatest quote you could say. It's just this confidence in him, and that team believes in him. But I'll tell you what, if Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes can find a way to beat this team on Sunday, going everything they're up against, the Chiefs already kind of own the AFC in terms of going to conference championship games and hosting them. I don't know how anybody's going to beat the Chiefs if they can find a way to win on Sunday, at least in the AFC.
So, I mean, when you talk about that too, like, okay, so the quarterback versus the talent and all that, I was thinking when you're saying it, the biggest part to both of those guys, to me, that it's not even mentioned there, is that thing that's so hard to define. But those, and it's like, sometimes it sounds like a cliche, Mahomes and Burrow are winners. You know, they are. That's what, you know, I was kind of asking about Josh Allen. He's had some big moments in the playoffs and stuff, so I don't want to like act like he can't perform on the big stage. But when Burrow needs to make a throw, he makes a throw. When he gets hit, he keeps playing. You know, and Mahomes, obviously, with what he did, playing on that ankle, it seems like it's just setting up. These are the two dudes in the league right now that you feel like in the big moments, they are going to be there no matter what, right? Is that a fair thing to say right now?
Oh, absolutely. I do think it's funny how three of the four quarterbacks, and we got to see with Brock Purdy yet. We just don't have a long enough sample size. But Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, they're really Mahomes and Burrow are already doing it. Jalen Hurts is getting to that point where I don't think it matters. Jalen Hurts is winning a football game. I mean, the guy's 15-1 this season when he plays. That is just, I don't care how talented the Eagles are. That speaks of itself. I mean, they were 0-2 when Gardner Minshew played. And everybody was worried about, oh, my God, okay, let's just wait till number one comes back. Well, he came back, and look what the Eagles did on Saturday. It's the same thing with Mahomes and Burrow. I don't think it matters. As long as they're on the field, their teams have a chance. And Mahomes, to do what he did against an aggressive Jacksonville defense on Saturday, and you could tell he was – I mean, you guys watched the game. I'm like, man, how is he doing this? How is he able to make these throws? How is he able – and give credit to the Chiefs' run game, too. Give credit to Andy Reid. Andy Reid has dealt with this before. I mean, he had Donovan after four touchdowns on a broken leg once. So, you know, it's just – I just think the Chiefs are so well coached, and they're so prepared for – it seems any situation at this point, and then you've got the all-world quarterback on top of it. I mean, I would not be surprised if Patrick Mahomes just had the game of his life on a high ankle sprain on Sunday. Will the Chiefs win the Super Bowl? I have no idea, but I know this. This is definitely a multiple-week injury, but, man, I kind of want to see Patrick Mahomes, like, have that moment, you know, that injury moment where it's, man, I'm Patrick Mahomes. I'm the best player in the world. I'm going to go show it this week.
You want the Chiefs to win. You want Patrick Mahomes to have his legacy game. You want to cover the Andy Reid Bowl between the Chiefs and the Eagles. That's exactly what you want, Jeff, right?
That is my dream, right. Honestly. I mean, because everybody knows I'm the biggest Andy Reid fan on the planet. So, and I will die on the hill. He's a better coach than Bill Belichick. I don't care how many championships Bill Belichick got. Go win something. Go win something about Tom Brady, and then shut me up. Which, you know, that's all I got to say. Andy Reid wins with Alex Smith, Jeff Garcia, Donovan McNabb, Kevin Cobb, Michael Vick. You know, I can go on and on. Nick Foles, I can go on and on with who Andy Reid.
Chad Henne.
Yeah, Chad Henne. Thank you. He was Chad Henne. By the way, Chad Henne and I used to go to a speed camp together back in, you know, the early 2000s. So
who was faster, you or Chad Henne?
Oh, Chad Henne. Oh, Chad Henne's in the NFL.
Okay.
Well,
not known for his speed, though. Not fleet of foot, but.
No, but Chad Henne's 13 and I'm 10. And Henne's just freaking booking it. I'm like, man, this guy's just, by the way, yeah, rocking arm, too, back then. It's funny how people judge Chad Henne and how I judge Chad Henne, but I digress. Chad Henne threw a touchdown pass Saturday, but yeah. That Andy Reid, if there was an Andy Reid Bowl, this is the best chance for it happening. And I mean, my biggest fear went away. Andy Reid was going to win a Super Bowl for the Eagles. Did the Eagles got theirs? Andy Reid got his. But it would be funny to see Andy Reid go against Nick Sirianni and Andy Reid go against Jalen Hurts. And I think Eagles fans have come around to Andy Reid now that he's been gone for 10 years and they got a Super Bowl. But still, even though Doug Peterson's got a championship here, Nick Sirianni's been one heck of a coach. Andy Reid's still the best coach in Eagles history.
Screw the Bengals and 49ers. We want Chiefs and Eagles. Jeff, we agree, and we'll hopefully talk about that matchup next week, all right?
I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
Will you guys be going to Glendale if they win?
I will not, but we will have people there, so we'll make something happen.
I've volunteered, but I don't know if I'm invited, so we'll see. They said we'll get back to you.
There have been some things that have happened at games that have Nate on a ban list, so we're trying to get that lifted, so we'll find out.
Questionable behavior on my part.
Yeah, I will say this about Glendale. If the Eagles go to Glendale, I will be so much more looking forward to that than the last time they went to the Super Bowl in Minnesota. The only enjoyable part of Minnesota was the Eagles just spanked the Vikings in the NFC Championship game. You had to hear bitter Vikings fans the whole week.
Jeff Kerr feeling it. All right, Jeff, we'll talk to you next week, my man.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
That's Jeff Kerr. You should follow him on the Twitter. He's a very good follow for any NFL fan. Loads of stats and facts and figures. If you want to check out Jeff Kerr, on Twitter, Jeff Kerr, CBS, is his handle. And also check out his latest work at CBSSports.com back after this on WHB. It's Victory Monday. Act like it. Let's hear Frank Clark again in the locker room, courtesy of PJ Green and his Twitter feed from Fox 4. Let's hear Frank Clark after the game, telling us he doesn't care who the Chiefs play or where they play next weekend.
Go to Atlanta and stay here.
It don't matter where we go. You already know it's a show. It don't matter. It don't matter to me. I'm a dog. They got to fight me anywhere I go. You know what I'm saying? It's a dog fight, man, no matter what's the environment. I zone out, you know, whether it's Chiefs Kingdom, Atlanta, or my backyard. You know, somebody got to get it.
He zones out. Whether it's Chiefs Kingdom or Atlanta or his backyard, somebody got to get it.
Somebody got it in my backyard once.
Someone has got to get it.
Wasn't me.
He's a dog.
That's right.
Playoff Frank with another sack. And again, unbelievably, he is tied with Reggie White now with 12 career postseason sacks, tied for fourth place since sacks were counted as a stat kept track of since 1982. So since 1982, only three players have more postseason sacks than Frank Clark. Let's see if either one of you paid attention. Name them. Players have more than
Reggie
Frank.
White.
He tied for Reggie White. I just told you he tied Reggie White. A tie is not more. A tie is like kissing your sister.
I thought somebody said it was like taking a shower with your sister.
I don't know.
Who said that? Who said that?
The old Baylor coach?
Yeah.
Name one guy that's ahead of him.
Bruce Smith.
Yeah. Name one of those other two. You run this show and you ain't listen. I've said this twice.
Who's played enough playoff games? Lawrence Taylor? I don't know. Oh, Clay Matthews, Packers.
No.
Oh, wait,
no,
he was.
No.
Oh, he's already been passed.
No.
He's been passed.
No.
He got all excited too. He's like, I got one.
What? One of these guys spent time with the Chiefs.
Terrell Suggs.
There. And then number one is William McGinnis. William McGinnis has 16. Bruce Smith has 14.5. Terrell Suggs has 12.5. Frank Clark and Reggie White have 12.
Clay Matthews is somewhere on that list.
Is he?
Oh, he's behind Frank Clark is what I'm saying.
There. He's number six. There you go. We'll take a break. Back after this with Bill Moss on WHB.